Well, good morning, church family. Hope you're doing well this morning. Lord bless us. Another Sunday. Another opportunity to meet together and fellowship. Sounded like we was having some pretty good fellowship before we started class this morning. It's always good to see you, brothers and sisters in Christ, and have an opportunity to just some good conversational fellowship with each other. We'll begin our services. So continue to remember Brother Billy as they are cruising, I guess. Thank the Lord that he's cruised us through another week and got us here with all this hot weather. It looks like we're going to have some more, but it's August. It's supposed to be. So, but we thank you for being with us here together. And those who are listening by the way of internet, and I ask you to just take your bulletin and look at it, those things that's coming up. Don't forget tonight as we continue with our Sunday night revival meetings. So ask the Lord to bless there. We're going to do a little bit of just general conversation this morning. We will... I'll start just a little bit in chapter number 6, but we're going to be all over the place as we study together this morning, Lord willing. But thank you much again for being with us today. Bow your heads in a word of prayer, and we'll continue. Lord, we thank you again, as we do each and every day, for the blessings of life, for your watch care over us, as you allow us to rest during the night, that we might be physically prepared to meet those things of today. And Lord, I thank you for the strength this morning to arise and be able to do those things necessary to then come in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for each one who's present today and those who are listening in. And Lord, I ask your blessings upon each. And Lord, I know as we gather not only today but every day of our lives, we meet many challenges and many problems. And Lord, we know that you know them before they ever come our way. So we would ask that you'd give us strength, walk with us through them, and may we always keep our eyes on you and know from whence our blessings come. Lord, today as we open your precious word, we also know that we can not understand it separate from the precious work of the Holy Spirit. So we ask that you would be with us today and open our hearts and minds to your precious word. Lord, for those who have lost loved ones, we ask a special blessing upon them. So many needs, but you are the great caregiver. Bless now our gathering together this day, and we give you the praise and honor and glory for it all, and most of all for our salvation. In the name of Christ we do pray. Amen. Last Sunday we come to the point we were talking about. We talked about the flood, and of course we looked at Enoch, who walked with God, and that was prior to the flood. Brother Ben has been, the last few messages have been wrapped to the church, and here we see that judgment's fixing to come on the world, and here we find that Enoch went walking with God as we look at chapter number 5 and verse number 23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. We got a good representation of the church and the rapture of the church as we look at this. Now we're fixing to go into judgment. The flood's fixing to come. And we find that there's one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord in chapter number 6 and verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know that as God told Noah to build an ark, and in that ark, Noah and his family is going to be preserved. And we see an example of the nation of Israel during the tribulation period being preserved and looked after and cared for as they go through the tribulation period. And as I looked at this and thought about it, you know, we have a merciful, kind, loving, a long-suffering and a patient Lord. And if we didn't, if I can understand the situation the world in now, he would have already had it obliterated. That's just, you know, I can't imagine him still letting it stay like it is. We got to be getting close to the time that he calls us home, folks. And if we look in chapter number 6, and we look at verse number 3, it tells us something about that too. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So we find that God also deals with time. And here he says, my spirit's not going to strive with man for eternity of time. And we live in now in this dispensation of grace that we live in, and we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and in the world, and the Holy Spirit that works in your heart and your life every single solitary day if you know Christ. He's present every single solitary day. He said he'll never leave us or never forsake us because we are his children. But if I see this verse right, he says, now, I'm not going to deal with the world with my eyes closed, so to speak, for eternity. There's coming a day of judgment. And we can believe that's coming. But you know, I mentioned last Sunday about the fowl of the air that went into the ark. And we've always talked, you know, as little children, we always talked two by twos. And of course, it took me a long time. I've been teaching for a good while forever, realized that some of them went in more than the two. And I had never noticed until last Sunday that the fowl of the air went in by sevens. You know, that shows you how we just read over things in God's Word. And with that thought in mind, and I read a little bit farther in chapter number 6 about Noah after the flood, and then God told him to come out of the ark. And what he did, something else hit my mind, shook the sawdust a little bit. So I want to look at something this morning. Offering and sacrifice. I want you to follow with me when we look through this. Now, you go back to Genesis in chapter number 3. And let's look at something. Now, we got to remember this morning that when we think about offers and sacrifices, I don't know about you, but who do we think about first of all as a people? We don't have to offer sacrifices and offerings on altars like who did? Like the Jews did. And, you know, I don't know about you, but my first thought is, you know, we think about the Jews. And we think about the order that God gave and the way the Jewish people offered sacrifices and offerings. But now where are we at, even at the flood? The nation of Israel has not been established. God's plan that he gave Moses has not been set. That's a future thing. But now let's look at something for just a moment. You know, if you and I are ever made right in the sight of the Lord, it's going to be because of a sacrifice. And that sacrifice for you and I was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who shed his precious blood on Calvary's tree that we might be saved, right? Okay? So when was that introduced, that we, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin? And all of a sudden, it's something else that came to my mind. So I said, okay, I'm prior to the nation of Israel and all the sacrifices that they had to do continuously. So let's look at a few things. Now, if we go back to Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 21, Adam and Eve have now sinned, and judgment's been placed on them. And in verse number 21, it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God. Who?
The Lord,
the Lord God. Do what? He made coats of skin and clothed them. Now, who did every bit of the work in this process? God did every bit of it, and he clothed them. So he's done it all. The only thing that Adam and Eve did was receive that God has already done. And when we look at it, to get clothes skin, those coats of skin, what had to take place? An animal had to die, and blood had to be shed. So here is the ground, the foundation, that there is no remission of sin without what? Blood. So now everything's set in order, and if you and I are going to be made to be back in a relationship with God Almighty and Jesus Christ, it's going to have to be done through the shedding of blood. Now, let's look at that thought in mind, sacrifices and offerings. And follow with me for just a moment. With that one thought in mind now, that's what we're looking for, is sacrifice and offerings. Now, look at 4. We've talked about this in our previous lessons. But look at chapter number 4 and look at verse number 3. And notice it says, in the process of time, it came to pass. Now, here is Cain and Abel. They are now young men, I think, because they have a flock and a field that they themselves are responsible for. How do we know that? Because of what they did. Now, and it says, and Abel, and it said, in the process of time, that Cain brought fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. Now, who's the offering going to? It's going to the Lord. So who has got to be pleased by the offering? The Lord's got to be pleased by the offering. Now, he took one of the world. Now, what did Abel take? And it said, Abel, he also brought of the first and of his flock. And notice it says, his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So now, if he brought the firstling of the flock, what had to be done for that offering to be offered? So now we have a situation that we've got a lamb and the blood's going to have to be shed, and then it will be accepted of the Lord. So what do we see? We see now what God has established beginning with Adam and Eve. And there's always got to be bloodshed for remission. Now, let's look on through this a little bit. So go with me now in chapter number 4, and let's take another step. In chapter number 4 and verse number 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, look through all this whole fifth chapter now, and nowhere in this fifth chapter will you find anything mentioned about a sacrifice and an offering. Now, we've just talked about in the 22nd verse of Enoch that he walked with God and God took him. Now, how do we know then that during this period of time, there was offerings given? How are we going to know that? But they had to be. So now we got to go a little deeper in Scripture to find out. So let's do a little bit of review here. Now look at Genesis with me in chapter number 7 again. Keep up with me now. Don't let me get you confused and going back and forth to things. In Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 1, we have come to the point now that the flood and judgment is fixing to come upon the face of the earth. And God's going to destroy everything that has the breath of life, except for the family of Noah. But prior to that, God told Noah what to do. He told him how to build the ark, all the details. And Noah built an ark out in the middle of nowhere on dry land. Hadn't never rained, and everybody thought he was crazy. Dumb as dirt, and they look at us when they ride by. I'll guarantee you somebody ride down 50 Highway and look at the parking lot full of cars and think about us as being dumb. But I'd rather be dumb saved than smart lost, I'll tell you. So now let's look at this verse. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So he's different from everything else. And now in verse number 2, he says, of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by twos, the male and his female. And here's a verse I've read 4,100 times, I guess, and never seen what I saw last Sunday. How many of the fowl did he take? Now here it says, of the fowl also of the air, by what? By sevens. But now in this particular verse, it does not say you take seven clean and two unclean. He just says of the fowls of the air, you take seven of them. And why? Why is it necessary in this particular case for Noah to take sevens? What's so outstanding about that? Then it tells us. But why is this important? Look at the rest of the verse. He said, the male and female to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Why is that so necessary? Now, let me ask you a question. Everything on the ark had a diet. They ate something, including Noah's family, the eight of them. What was their diet? What did they eat? See, here's one of those things we kind of just run right on over. Everything that was on that ark eat vegetation, including Noah and his family. They were vegetarians. So what has got to happen in a hurry when the flood deceased? And I came by. I was looking at some weeds at the house the other day, and I swore to you, I saw a weed out there, and the cotton picking thing was as high as that door on it almost. And I said, man, you ought to be able to see that thing grow to grow that much. You ought to be able to stand here and look at it. And I reckon if you got down and lined it up, you ought to be able to see that thing go. So that vegetation grows in a hurry. So God had provisions, didn't he? You take all the fowl there, and you take them by seven, because I need them to do what? I need them to spread the seed so I can get back to where all those animals plus your family can survive when you come out after the flood. So you go by sevens. You say, well, what does that have to do about the offerings? We're headed that way. Now he said, we're going to take those by sevens. Now, if God told Noah to take of the beast, the clean beast, by what? Sevens. The unclean, by what? By twos. Don't you think Noah had to know why? Noah had to know why. Why have we got it categorized clean and unclean? Because those clean beasts are for a special reason. And they took an odd one. You say, why in the world they take seven? Well, we'll get that in a minute too. So let's look a little bit deeper into this thing. Now, we have the flood as it comes. And when the flood came, it said it killed everything that had the breath of life. So everything's passed in that judgment of the flood. And here we are now in chapter number 8. And we look at verse number 1. And what does it say? God remembered. Noah. Aren't you glad God don't ever forget us? Aren't you glad He knows where we're at all times? It don't make any difference what's going on in our life. He knows exactly where we're at every moment of every day, and He remembers our needs every moment of every day, and He meets those needs according to His will. Now, the problem now is that we accept His will. Sometimes that's hard to do. But we've just got to keep foremost in our hearts and minds that God's in charge of our lives, and He knows what's best regardless of what we think. He does not make a mistake. Never has, never will. So He says He remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Then we go over and we look at verse number 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of the fowl and of the cattle, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. So here's the reason to bring them forth. This is what they are to do. Noah went forth, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with him. And every beast and every creeping thing and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark. Now here's where it gets interesting. What does Noah do? And Noah built a what? An altar. Well, what's he built an altar for? See, here's the first thing now that he has done. The first thing that I see recorded that he's done when they pass out of the ark is he builds an altar. Well, when he builds an altar, what does he do at that altar? Now, I want you to watch something with me in this particular verse. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord. So he built it, and he built it unto who? Unto the Lord. And he took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. You see anything strange about that verse? Now, we go back again. You go back and look at that 6th chapter, 3rd verse again about the fowl of the air. And he said he made them to reseed the earth. Now, I asked the question, that when we look at the period of time prior to the flood, the period of time when Noah did all his preaching and nobody came, we don't see anything about sacrifice and offerings in there, then how does Noah know what to offer? He knows the same way Cain and Abel did. How did Cain and Abel know what kind of an offering to offer? Because mom and daddy instilled it in them that this is what you do. This started with us when we did what we did. And God sacrificed two of his precious animals that he had just created. And he shed their precious blood that he might coat us with a coat of skin. And he set it set in order now that we do offerings unto the Lord. And that's the reason Cain and Abel knew, because it had been taught. How do you know anything about God? How do you know anything about Christ? Did you just pick it up out of the blue? Or do you know what you know because God used somebody to teach you about him and his son and the message of saving grace? You were taught by somebody. Mother and Daddy had a big influence in Mitchell and my life because godly parents, the best thing a child can have in this world, in the natural state, is a mother and daddy that loves God and wants them to be saved and will teach them the gospel message. And then you go to a church that's founded in God's Word, and you're taught. And one day the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and shows you position in God's eye and shows you the sacrifice that he gave for your sins. And we receive him as our Lord and Savior, as we ask him to forgive us for our sins. The shed blood of Christ paid the price. The offering was made. And they've been taught. And here we look at Noah. And Noah had to be taught. And he knew what kind of offerings must be given on that altar. And even though we see where there was those fell of the air by those clean ones by seven. What did God knew that Noah was going to do as soon as he got off the ark? He's going to do what? What are we reading? He's going to build an altar. What's he going to do on that altar? He's going to take the clean of all that's gone into the ark, and he's going to take one of those and he's going to offer one of those for a sacrifice. If you take seven and you sacrifice one of them, how many have you got left? You've got six left, right? And they are what? They're pears. See, God knew. What if God said, you just take two of everything? He says, you take two of the unclean, you take seven of the clean. If he'd have said, you take two of the clean, we walk off the ark, and Noah gives a sacrifice of one of those clean, then what have you done? You've destroyed your clean. There will be no more because you've not paired anymore. See, God knows what he's doing, don't he? So it says, and of course, seven is the number of completeness anyway. So how did Noah know? He'd been taught. And he says he was a righteous man. And here we find that he did what he had been taught to do. And he gave God the credit for what God had done. And he gives an offering. Now, look at the next verse. And the Lord smelled a sweet savior. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is what? And when does it start? From his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. Now, when you look at this verse, what Noah has done, it was sweet smell to the nostrils of God, the offering that he gave. Now, when we look at this, God says that I'll not destroy this earth anymore as long as there's seed time and harvest, as long as there's cold and heat and summer and winter, and what? And day and night shall not cease. All right, does that say that he will not destroy the earth anymore, period? And how do we know that? This morning, it's just one kind of food thought, okay? Now, let me go with you over to Peter for just a moment, 2 Peter. All of a sudden, that clock took off. I didn't know where I'd get this far or not, but let me go to 2 Peter and let's go to the third chapter. And let me read something to you here. Beginning the fourth verse. As some saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willing are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standeth out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perish. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, next word, reserved unto what? Fire. Against the day of what? Judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, my time's about gone. If we look, it's reserved. Now, he said he wasn't destroyed anymore as long as there was day and night. Now, I want you to look at something in Revelation's 21st chapter. I'll do this real quick and close. We're go all the way over to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, first verse number 1. And he saw, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heavens and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. See, judgment now has brought change on the earth. It's not like it was. He said, I'll not destroy it as long as there's, like I did with the flood, as long as there's what? Summer and winter, day and night, spring and harvest, like it is now. We're just coasting along. But one day, after we've gone through the tribulation period, the judgment of God, he's going to have to refurbish this world again. He said there's not going to be any more sea. And he sees that holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, flip with me over to verse 22. I got to close, so flip me over to 22. And I saw no temple of the Lord, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need for the sun, nor the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all day, all by day, for there shall be no night there. There shall be no night there. So now, when we go back and look at springtime and harvest and day and night, he said there won't be judgment until what? That's over. And here we have judgment coming. And all those that we saw in Peter that's burned up, now we have a new world to live in, prepared by God, just for his children to walk in and out, like he had just said. Where do you stand this morning? Are you going to be in this new heaven and new earth, or are you going to be burning in hell? A sacrifice makes the difference. And that sacrifice for your sins and my sins is Jesus Christ. Have you received it today? God bless you, and thank you for listening.